greatest and best podcast in the world. Tribute. One time, me and my brother Sean here, we were hitchhiking down a long, lonesome road, when all of a sudden, there shined a shiny demon in the middle of the road. And he said,
"Make the best podcast in the world, or eat your souls."
Well, me and Sean, we looked at each other, and we each said, "Okay." So we made the first thing that came to our head, just so happened to be the best podcast in the world. Best buggers in the world. Look into my eyes and it's easy to see. When a one make two, to a one make three was destiny. Once every 100,000 years or so, when the sun does shine and the moon doth glow and the grass doth grow. Needless to say, you are listening to the soothing sound of I'm Stamped, here to help you through the thick and the thin. As always, I'm Chris Beer.
And I'm Sean Casty.
Thank you for tuning in again. Just to remind everybody, you can check out our newly revamped blog, or we've just managed to sort out our deal with iTunes, so now you can definitely get all of our wonderful episodes straight to your door, or straight to your computer screen, to your earlobes, from iTunes. So you just need to search I'm Stumped Podcast, and we're straight away there.
We're on Twitter as well, aren't we? So you can go to twitter.com/ I'm Stumped Pod.
Now, as many of the students out there listening will know, today is a time of fear and dread for most, or a time for joy for others. Of course, I'm talking about exam results. Now, first question comes to us from Gareth from York, and he says, "I've just found out that I failed a few of my modules.
Yeah.
What should I do? Where should I go from here?"
Well, we don't know how much work Gareth has put in his modules, do we?
No.
So if he's failed his modules and he thinks he's put in a lot of revision. Because you get what you put in, don't you, basically?
Definitely, definitely.
So if Gareth has put in a lot of work and he's come out with disappointing results, then I think he might need to question his future, maybe.
I'm going to get this all out of my system. I think it was in the second podcast.
Yeah.
Where you said that if you failed your exams, then it's a good idea to fail. So,
if you failed your exams and you put in a lot of work, then perhaps you need to question whether it's the university or college is right for you, or whether it's too difficult for you. On the other hand, if you've passed your exams and you've put in a lot of work, then well done.
So thanks
Gareth for that question. That basically leads us on to, you told me today, student finance, the accepting inquiries for the 2011.
Yep, you can, you heard it here first, or you might have heard it from your email, so then it would be here second, but you can now apply for your grants and your loans from the government, so get on that. Tap that resource, drain the government of all the money you can, seeing as they're going to raise their student fees and that.
Mm-hmm.
Because they always take ages with these things, they always somehow end up running. I don't know. Do they just not plan ahead? They just go, "Oh, we'll be fine." You know, we've been late with applications every year for the last 5 years, but we'll be okay this year. Let's leave it to the last minute.
Yeah, it always seems to hit the news, doesn't it, around like September, and you see these news broadcasts saying, "Oh, so many students are being left without student finance. The system's slow. Everything's slow. They've messed up.
Yeah, so it's always the same story. So get it in now. Get it done. Get it sorted. Get your parents to do their bit as well. And that's done then.
Yeah, can you believe it was a year ago we were filling out the student finance? Now you've been in university?
No, I can't believe it.
Seems about a long time ago, that, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, another event that might have happened in a university near you, or definitely here, was we just recently had the elections for student president. And
the SU, isn't it? The student union. Yeah.
And so we've just taken our votes. And, you know, what's your view on the election process? Do you think it's all a bit of a waste of time, Sean?
They've hyped it up a lot, haven't they, here? So I think there's about 8 different positions you can apply for, ranging from president to welfare officers to equality officer to officer of different sites. Like, there's one for Winchester, isn't there, and other campuses.
Yeah.
So... When we go around the concourse, because we've got a concourse out here, haven't we? We've got it's by the SU shop, so it's like a giant square. You've got like a stag's head bar on one side, you've got the student union building on the other, and the shop, and in between they've set up like this market stall, really, haven't they? With people full of campaigners, and it's trying to get you to place your vote for them, really, and. It does get kind of annoying, doesn't it? Because I know you've had a few people coming into your lectures and trying to get you to vote for them.
Yeah, they're kind of like sort of getting on their hands and knees and being like, "Please vote for me," you know. Their main point is that a lot of money gets taken and put into the SU, but to be honest, they're going to get told how to run. They're not going to have the free choice to. They get 2 million, I think it is, and they're not going to just say to them, "You can spend it on what you like." Otherwise, they're like, "Free rooms for everyone."
Yeah, it's a 7 million profit-making business, I think, apparently.
Really?
Yeah, and I know quite a few of them who are campaigning, taking it very seriously, despite walking around and trying to get votes in. What was it, a Smurf costume the other day? Smurf costumes, they've had.
There's a spoon running for election.
A spoon running for election, yeah.
Yeah, it is one of his campaign things was that he'd had a good life being a piece of cutlery.
That'll stir things up a bit, won't it?
Oh, God. Yeah.
So I think there's plenty of hype surrounding the student union elections, but is it worth it in the end, really? Did it make you vote?
Well, I did vote, yes, and we'll definitely keep you guys up to date of whether we think that it was worth it, and send us any comments or tweets our way of whether you think that your student union's up to scratch, doing what it should be doing and spending your money the right way.
Which it probably won't. That symbolic music means it's time for the news section, and we've got a few interesting items this week, and haven't we, Chris?
We do indeed, Sean.
Thank you, Chris. And the first item of news this week, I don't know if you've heard, Chris, is the Chelsea footballer Ashley Cole. Have you heard about this?
No, I haven't.
No, apparently Ashley Cole is under investigation by the police. Because he bought an air rifle into his training ground. And
it's a bit of a funny thing that you need to play football.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, that was part of the kit list.
Exactly, I know. He brought his rifle into the training ground. And he ended up shooting a work experience boy in the changing room, apparently, with his rifle. He was showing off his rifle to his teammates and ended up shooting one of the work experience boys.
That's terrible.
Yeah, exactly. Unbelievable. And Chelsea have said they'll deal with the matter internally. And the police will be involved as well.
That's hardly going to be internal then, is it, if the police are involved?
Well, Chelsea have said they've looked into it internally and they've dealt with it. So Perhaps he's been found about 2,000 of his 200,000 pound a week wages.
Yeah, I don't really get. Yeah, they get paid so much money, so really, no fine is gonna really.
No, I know, I know. It's kind of pointless, really. But
I think probably the worst thing they could probably do to him is say that he can't play for the next 10 matches, and he'd hate that.
Yeah, but they can't punish your own player really with that, can they?
But he's gonna shoot someone.
It's like me. It's like I might bring my Tommy gun into my bank. Next week, perhaps then. It's just ridiculous. Well, why bring your gun into a changing room anyway?
In other news, animal rights protesters are up in arms.
Up in wings, in this case.
About the Brazilian footballer Luis Moreno, who was seen to kick an owl off the pitch about 3 yards. This owl happened to be a lucky mascot for the opposing team. The owl was thought to have recovered after it had broken its leg, but unfortunately died.
Do you know which football team this Luis Moreno plays for, Chris?
Brazil.
He plays for a Brazilian team?
Yes.
Is it Owl City?
Do
you know if the owl plays on the wing?
The Brazilian team manager has said that they will deal with the matter internally again, just like the
Ashley Cole.
He's currently being sanctioned for his actions.
So he should. It's quite terrible though. When you see the video, he goes over to a tackle, doesn't it? The ball goes out of play, and then this object falls on the pitch and it's the owl, and the referee stops play. The guy goes over, and as the owl's looking around, he kicks the owl, and you think, surely that's a bit cruel. It's animal cruelty, really. You should get can you imagine if he was lying on the floor injured and someone
and
came over
and a huge owl came over and kicked him off the pitch?
Exactly. It's a terrible, terrible thing to do. Hopefully he'll be punished by some authorities, maybe.
I hope so. We can but hope, Sean. We can but hope.
It's quite a bird brain thing to do, wasn't it?
And that was
the news. Talking of animal cruelty, it leads us on nicely to our next question, which has been sent in by Annabelle from Hull. So, hello Annabelle. I hope it's quite nice in Hull at the moment. Shit, it can't be as cold as it is down here, can it?
Yeah, it's pretty freezing.
Yeah. Annabelle says, Dear, I'm stumped. Dear, I'm stumped. What is the etiquette for cleaning cat off the road?
Well, first of all, is it your cat? You could do what Brazilian did, as was reported on the news, and just kind of drop kick it.
Yeah, but the owl wasn't glued to the pitch, was it? Like, the cat will be to the tarmac. So there might be a problem there. But no, firstly, the person who's ran the cat over is obviously a scumbag, isn't he? Because surely that's total cruelty that the animal, the cat's been crossing the road, a car's come along and then absolutely steamrolled the cat. And he hasn't stopped or anything, he's driven on. And apparently Annabelle says in the email that it was outside a house as well, that the cat got crushed. And Annabelle looks out, Annabelle gets up of the day, looks out from a window, and sees this cat.
And she
completely
thought,
painted on the pavement, Chris. And surely, what's the etiquette of cleaning cat off the road? The person who runs the cat over should clean the cat off the road.
Yes, definitely.
But
I agree.
Annabelle, I'd recommend a spade and
a hose.
A hose.
Right. I'm just going to interject here because I think that it would be a good idea to let the person know whose cat it is.
But surely if it's been crushed on the road, how would anyone know what
because
cat it is?
Because of the collar.
If it's wearing a collar. And I know from experience, because I've got cats at home. And when you buy them from the cattery, they get injected. They get taught the Green Cross code. And it... they don't really. But
oh my god.
In the neck. In the neck is...
they get taught the Green Cross code in their neck.
No. In the neck is a microchip implanted, and it shows you, if you scan it, it shows you where the cat's from, who's the owner, etc. And that's what happens when cats go missing, and then they get picked up by the cattery and sent there. The cattery just scans the neck, finds out who they belong to, contacts them, and the cat's back home. If it's been like mushed on the ground, then you can't really go around on the pavement in the middle of the road with your scanner, can you? So I think the best way is to clear it off with a spade and hose.
And a brush.
And a brush, but it's the road, Chris, so cars will be going over it all the time. So
it depends where it is, isn't it? I mean, it's the same as all roadkill. If you accidentally hit a deer,
it's quite a random thing to do, isn't it?
Say no. I mean, like if one was like just randomly, like, or a rabbit or anything, proper etiquette, as you said, would be to stop your car,
yeah,
and take it off the road. So how would you take it off the road?
How would you take a deer off the road?
Yeah, how would you take any roadkill?
You'd pull over your car onto the hard shoulder. You'd pull your car over to the hard shoulder. Your car would pull over to the hard shoulder. You'd pull your car over to the hard shoulder, and you get out and you try and clear the deer off the road. You could use a variety of power tools to clean it off the road. So you could use a spade, a rake.
What are you going to have in your car? I know. One of those ice scrapers that you use to get the ice off your windows. Yeah, that'd be great for scraping it off the road.
No, but really, I'd recommend just trying to... If you ran over a deer, you often see these cars with like a tow rope in the back, don't they? So you've got like you at the back of your car, you've got a tow rope. I'd hook the tow rope around the deer's antler and track it off the shoulder.
Well, talking of technology, as in the chip in the cat's neck, we have some technological news for you now. The Apple iPad 2 has just been released, basically exactly the same as the Apple iPad 1, except some increased software and camera for FaceTime. This is another example of Apple's undying lust for money, constantly bringing out new, slightly different, slightly upgraded things of each of their products, doing what they said they'd do it in the first place.
How does this differ from the iPad 1, apart from the things you mentioned? Any difference in shape?
It's apparently now thinner than an iPod Touch. It weighs about just over half as much as the original Apple iPad. And it's got a better processor in it, and the screen's supposed to be more sensitive. But the camera was meant to be put into the first one, so it's really just them trying to get hold of more of our hard and cash.
I have seen though that the Apple iPad's now available in white and black as well. It's available in two colours, so whether that makes any difference to whether people decide to buy the product is...
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really sure about that. And also, they've now reduced the original iPad down by about £100, which is a bit of a rip-off, really, because you've just bought an iPad. Or if you want to buy an iPad, you're not going to really... Now they're saying that the old one's pretty rubbish and that you all want to buy a new one. You're not going to buy the old one. Now they've knocked £100 off, are they, really? So.
No, but the thing I don't get about the iPad is you've got your iPhone, haven't you?
Yeah.
And you can do all sorts of things on the iPhone, like use the internet, ring people, text, play games, watch videos. And it's even got a camera and video as well, I think, video recording.
It has indeed.
Now, why would you then what would possess you to buy an iPad? What's the sole use of your iPad going
to
be?
They're trying to push it for you to read books with it, and also it's a better way of surfing the internet, and also for watching films and viewing photos and things. But really, to be honest, if you want to get any of that stuff, you might as well buy like the separate gadgets, and you can probably get all of like the best top of the range gadgets in each of their class, like for reading books and etc. etc. And you'd get a lot better ones for like less than you'll be paying for an Apple iPad.
Yeah, you can. There's quite a few eBooks or Kindles that you can buy.
Yeah, exactly, Kindle. And Apple's always overpriced, and you can't like interact with any other software. They're like very, you know, like. To be able to access your iPod properly, then they like you to have a MacBook,
yeah,
and stuff like that. So it's constantly, you know, it's not very compatible software.
No, I can't. Despite this, I can't really see any reason that would attract me to try and buy an iPad. Really, it is a lot of money, really, for what it basically is. And like you said, there are cheaper alternatives, isn't there?
Yeah.
But the thing, while the iPad's taken off. Because it's become quite popular, hasn't it?
Yes,
and social media, different forms of social media have taken off as well, haven't they?
Yeah.
Again, first of all, there was a few years ago, I think, a lot of people went on MSN, didn't they? A lot of people still do. Then there was MySpace. Do you remember MySpace at all? Did you ever use MySpace?
I didn't really use MySpace, no. I thought that it was more of a dating. That's what it seemed to generally be used for.
Dating MySpace.
Yeah.
On MySpace, you could do is you had a profile, didn't you? You could post your music on, your photos, your videos, etc. That moved on, didn't it, to Facebook. A lot of people started using Facebook. No. How many people use Facebook now? It doesn't speak.
Well, it must be millions.
A billion, apparently.
Yeah.
A billion user the other week.
Yeah.
It was announced. And then there's following from Facebook. There's also a lot of people use Twitter now, don't they?
Yeah, so, their tweets.
Yeah, there's plenty.
I mean, to be honest, there's so much rubbish on the internet. I mean, people tweet about. You can tweet about absolutely anything. So you can really just say absolute rubbish that nobody's interested in. You know, you could say tons of stuff that you. I bet 95% of what's on the internet is rubbish that wouldn't help absolutely anyone.
Oh no, you get the same problem when you're writing your essays, don't you? Because they tell you to find references that are reliable sources.
You're going to reference Twitter?
Exactly, yeah. They warn you not to reference anyone because loads of people can create blogs, can't they? And you could be like a psychopath typing away your own opinion on your blog, couldn't you?
Mm.
That's hardly a credible source, is it? So,
no. When you're talking about globalisation, no.
So I think social media, it stops originality. It stops people being original.
Speaking of originality,
you got to be careful when you do that though, because you can get done for plagiarism. And talking of plagiarism, that leads us neatly onto our next question. Which is from Adam, and it says, recently a couple of the people in my tutor group have been warned that they could be done for plagiarism, not referencing properly in their essays. How can I avoid plagiarism in my work? And I'll let you answer that, Michonne. You do more essays than I do.
Well, I made the mistake of using Wikipedia a bit too much the other day. Wikipedia is apparently not a credible source. Believe it or not. People write all sorts. People hack each other's, or hack celebrities' Wikipedia pages.
Yeah.
And write stuff like, they died, so-and-so. So, ridiculous things like that.
I suppose the best way that you can avoid any copyright is that anything that you read and you want to include in your work, to try and either quotation mark it, and don't like do huge paragraphs or any bits that are relevant to your work. And if you want to put anything in your own words, kind of thing, like put it in but not be quoting it, then definitely I'd definitely try and change it into your own words. Another good way of writing essays is there's a freeware software called Dragon Naturally Speaking, and it means that you can just speak to the computer, or if you've got Windows Vista, then it's already got software on it already, and you just talk to the computer and it will type for you. Dragon Naturally Speaking.
Ooh.
So you just talk. I mean, with Vista, you can control the whole computer via talking.
Oh, yeah.
You can say, open Word, and it'll open Word for you. No joke.
So basically, you could like, recite your own essay, couldn't you?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I would do. That's what I did when I had to write my personal statement. It's good to dictate, because then you kind of... usually you want to make essays sound like you're talking to the person who doesn't really know very much about the subject.
No.
That'd be the way I'd go about not plagiarising.
I think it could be an easy way to cheat, do you think, perhaps?
I don't know. Usually when they use plagiarism software, they search for phrases and words. Usually phrases. So you could just every now and again change one word in a...
Yeah, I suppose so.
Like every three words.
Yeah.
Just change a word and then you could have the whole lot. Not that we're telling you to cheat or anything. Just...
No. We only offer decent advice on this podcast.
Hello and welcome. You have reached... the psychic readings of me, Henry Western. Listen. Can you hear it? That's the universe. It's here to give you all the answers. I sense that there is a great trouble on your mind, but fear not, for you are not the only one with these troubles. You will never be alone. As for your cat, Mr. Percy Winkles, I'm sure he will turn up soon enough. I sense that technology is a large part in your household community, and I suggest that you may be cut down slightly as you are missing out on your child's future. There is much more to life than technology. Ensure you let the universe know of what you want from your day. Write a structure down of what you intend to do that day and your dreams, hopes, and wishes so the universe will know what to bring you. In the event of something bad happening, just remember that the great wheel that turns will bring good and bad. And it's not just bad luck on the wheel of fate. And that this will finally lead you to your destination in the end. As for the rumors, do not just believe what you see and hear, for things that you read online and hear from friends or colleagues is not necessarily the truth. Watch what you say, because I fear that someone close to you may be feeling that you're letting the side down. This has been a psychic reading with me, Henry Western. With any questions that you may fear to answer that I have not answered already, turn your face upward to the sky and ask the heavens why. Thank you for listening. Peace be with you.
That brings us on nicely to our next question.
Our final question of the night.
Yeah, and it says, it's been sent in by Tony, and Tony's from Plymouth. Strange part of the world, Plymouth, isn't it? And Tony says, "Dear, I'm stumped. I've been thinking about this question for a while now. I spent £10,000 on a car and I ended up crashing it after a week. Now, what is the biggest waste of money in the world or that you can think of?" He says, "Great show, by the way." So, thanks for that, Tony.
First of all, I want to say, bad luck for crashing your car, dude. I hope you had it insured.
Oh, I don't think he did, because otherwise it wouldn't be the biggest waste of money, would it?
Oh, no, that's terrible.
So, any suggestions, Chris, for the biggest waste of money? I'm sure there are quite a few in Dorset.
I think the biggest waste of money has got to be the paycheck of the bankers.
What do you mean?
They get paid a ridiculous amount of money and they just sit around all day being human calculators. They don't do anything. And they're getting all these huge raises. You know? Why do they deserve raises?
Exactly, they get bonuses for sending everything to financial ruin, don't they? So.
Exactly, they're still getting paid loads.
What else could be the biggest waste of money then in the world? Well, obviously a few people will mention certain footballers who get paid vast amounts of money. You know, talking to Chelsea, you mentioned Chelsea footballer Ashley Cole earlier on. His teammate, Torres, who hasn't got an air rifle, got bought for £50 million and he hasn't scored a goal yet. So you could argue that's the biggest waste of money in the world.
God, can you imagine if you were worth £50 million? I'd sell myself. I really would.
Sell yourself £50 million?
Yeah, I'd just sell myself and then get £50 million. I've got a house made entirely out of chocolate.
Yeah.
That would be a pretty big waste of money.
Must be quite rich.
It would look so tasty.
Yeah. Who owns the house, do you know? Who would own a house like that? Hansel and Gretel.
No, I think his name was...
Don French.
It was Mr. Arrow.
What was it? I thought his name was
Mr. No, actually, sorry. It was the band Aerosmith.
Oh, right, okay. I thought it was Mr. K-Cat. Do you know what happened to Mr. K-Cat once he had a load of chocolate?
No.
He became Mr. K-Cat Chunky. What do you call chocolate that loses its hair?
That loses its hair?
Yeah.
Baldy?
Maltesers.
Don't know why we're talking about chocolate jokes. Biggest waste of money, like ridiculously expensive to have an abortion. Why? What? That's got to be the world's, you know, most waste of money. Because why not just have the baby? You know, if you're not financially able to have the baby, then have the baby. And then have it adopted if you really have to.
Yeah.
But why go through the effort of saving up or loaning out all that money to kill what is potentially a human life?
And on that quite sensible note, me and Chris are off for a drink, I think, after this delightful podcast. So thank you for listening. And remember to tune in next Tuesday. For our latest edition, that'll be podcast 5, won't it?
It will indeed, our 5th instalment of Knowledge Straight to Your Doorstep. Remember, we are available on Twitter, so you can use the hashtag I'm Stumped Podcast, or you can access us completely on iTunes and download us straight to your iPod or other music device. Alternatively, you can check out our new blog or our YouTube page, or you can just plain old fashioned email us at imstumptpodcast@hotmail.co.uk.
Yep. Thanks for that, Chris. As always, it's been great. So, thank you for listening to I'm Stumped Podcast number 4. We'll be back.
As always, I've been Chris Beale.
And I've been Sean Cassidy.
All we hear is all of these questions. So many questions for us to answer. All we do is answer your queries, make up some theories. Hello, I'm Stumped, what's new? I'm Stumped, someone still loves you.